ready for this. Say you're ready for this. Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried, but I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Craig Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See,
you were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Touchdown.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cuz.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything of Matt. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah,
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
I mean, goosebumps.
Hell? Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Hell yeah. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock and we are commercial free for the next 25 minutes. That's what the FM stations would say.
We're going to play some more Jay-Z for 25 minutes commercial free.
Alex in a parlay. Tanny's here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. I'm glad the Cubs won. It was a bleak moment before this game began. And in the earlier parts of it, as things were all starting to feel kind of bleak, and there's still a little stink of bleakness hanging over the thing and the mood of the moment. But what kind of parlay did Alex hit?
It's none of your business.
What happened? I'd like to know. I can't know. Alex has a microphone. He's
I'll preface this by saying the Cubs won, but I did have the William Contreras two home runs.
Really?
I had Kyle Tucker hitting two home runs too, but just so happened that William Contreras.
You get out of the control room right now.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Sir. Yeah, you get you.
Enjoy
get
the
out.
Rest of the show, guys.
My goodness.
It's big money day for Alex. He is doing very well today. Kid's going to be out in the town. It's a beautiful thing. Here's what we have planned for people today. Someone named Danny Parkins is going to stop by the show today at 5 o'clock.
A little too much Parkins.
In fact, he's already here. We were talking before the show. So he's, I believe, in the final meeting for the radiothon. He's like, I got to go to the radiothon, and then I'll be back, and I'll talk with you guys. So we're going to talk with him about the radiothon, and then we will also talk with him about the Bears and the Cubs and whatever else is on his mind.
I love that he dedicated some time on national radio. I think he was filling in for Cowherd, and he did some Ryan Sandberg talk. And did a really nice obit there yesterday. So we should touch on that as our listenership, and I'm sure you and certainly me, Lawrence, continue to kind of process that loss into the night last night and even this morning, phone calls and texts and such.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's probably going to take the city a while to recover from it, honestly, and I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that the fact that people kind of stopped and were like, let me reassess and let's think about and let's talk about Rhino. I thought the last, 36 hours has been really beautiful in people coming to terms with it and working through it. And I imagine that will continue.
Yeah, I keep thinking about it in terms of grief because I lost my dad like a month ago. And the truth is you never really move on from true grief. Like you move with it, there's no right way to grieve, and some days are going to be heavy, some days are not going to be heavy, and it'll hit you when you least expect it. So, you know, be patient with yourself if you're still grieving and processing wherever you are. And we get to be here. And man, I loved yesterday. I was really happy to be a part of it. It was really nice. It was kind of honored to be a part of it in the way that you and I were yesterday.
That and the beautiful part for us, because we know Barry Rosner, is that we then started to get the pictures from Barry Rosner. His time being ushered in with the rest of the Hall of Famers.
Yeah, he said that Tom Seaver broke his camera and it was a blurry shot. I'm not convinced that's Tom Seaver. I think it might have been Jerry Kuzman or Ed Cranepool. I don't think it was Cleon Jones or Tommy Agee, but I can't be sure.
It kind of looked like Brendan McCaffrey.
Which would be amazing. What a coincidence that 20 years ago, Brendan would be there hanging out with all the Hall of Famers. But yeah.
Hey, he was a ferocious guest booker, man. So I wouldn't be surprised if B-Mac would have, as a toddler, traveled into there and got in some pics with Barry. But yeah, it's been great to share some of that stuff with him and with you, the Score listener. It's been as good as something like this can be.
And after I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to jump on it. I found myself thinking last night just how ugly that was last night. That Cubs lost last night. And if you remember last week, I was like, I don't know if Colin Ray's going to make that start on that Tuesday in between Boyd and Shota. It ought to be Sandy Alcantara. And it wasn't Sandy Alcantara, but Sandy Alcantara pitched yesterday in St. Louis and threw 5 shutout innings.
His last couple of starts have been real strong.
Yeah, on the heels of his 7 shutout innings the last time out. And I'm still sitting here hoping that the Cubs make a deal for that guy or for Merrill Kelly as a rental from Arizona or for somebody else of consequence. There was a moment last night during the game where Boog and JD were talking about what it means to a clubhouse when you go out and get somebody to show them that you believe in them and show them that you're going to arm them. And the fact that they hadn't done it yet, even as of this morning, it's a nice win today and we could talk about the win, but man, it feels like they're late. They are late, and I hope they're not just choosing to be cautious with some of the arms that are on their way back and are rehabbing and going to be around and available probably middle of August.
Yeah, this was always the thing that you were concerned about, is do the Cubs feel comfortable? And in that way, I'm thankful for the Brewers that they have been like, hey, we kicked the Dodgers' ass, and we'll kick your ass too. You know, like don't think that you can just kind of sleepwalk your way to winning this division. And the volatility of what playoff baseball is like, it kind of doesn't matter how you get in. That being said, you would still prefer that you be the team that isn't in a best out of 3 series. You'd rather be the team, one of the teams is just kind of sitting there going, all right, let's see how all of this stuff plays out.
It's a good point by you that the Brewers are making it very clear that you're going to have to do something. Just in case you were thinking about being cautious, Brewers are good, man. And they look better than you right now.
They look unafraid.
Their pitching is more solid. Peralta got beat up a little bit today, but that bullpen, man, and we didn't even see Woodruff, who's been back now and has pitched twice really well. Cubs defense was shaky the first couple games of this series. PCA with the error last night, Nico with the error last night, among 3 as a team. And I mean, Brewers are good, and you're sitting there now a game back. And you got to do something. I think they're a little late to go get the starter, but I think they still will. But it's kind of nerve-wracking to be out here in these trade deadline streets while everybody else is starting to do stuff and they are not yet doing stuff. Now, granted, not too many starting pitchers have gone, but the moves are starting to pop, and some of the sellers have made themselves clear.
Well, and the beautiful thing about it, and I, you know how I feel. I'm all about making the moves earlier so that you can win some of these games. Like, the games in September aren't the only ones that matter. But when it comes to Alcantara, the fact that he can still be on the roster and still help you the next time that he's supposed to pitch. Like, he's still, as Don Cooper would say, his regularity is still intact. If you make a move now or tomorrow, you can still get him in here and have him ready to go for the next time that he's supposed to pitch. If they feel like they have seen enough growth, and I think there's an argument for it with Matt Shaw, maybe they cross that off their list of things that they needed to do. Maybe they feel like because the head is now staying pretty level, the fact that the leg is staying pretty much down, that now they don't have to worry about that part anymore. And it's really just find a starter, find the best possible reliever that you can go get to make this team more whole. And they did the thing that you've been asking them to do for about 6 weeks now.
Is it wrong to celebrate the DFA of a grown man, a professional player? Probably.
Yeah, because it's not like he did anything. You know,
no.
Like, he's not a bad, like, he does, hasn't done anything that makes him a bad guy.
Yeah,
and you can take some solace in this, Speaks. If they win a World Series, he gets a ring.
It's true. But it's that thing, man. In this business, we all, on some level, feel the call of being Mr. Validation. So, look, and this is a show where Mr. and Mr. Validation live together
in harmony
on this show. So, yes, the Vidal Bruján designation for assignment does feel like, yeah, it's about time. It's what I said. But, you know, I'm not happy about that. But I will say, they got to figure out something at the bottom of the roster. I mean, Moises Ballesteros is here, and he had a great at-bat today, a great moment clearing the bases with an opposite field double.
That was the moment of the game.
It really was. Because they didn't do enough in the first, and they were in danger of not doing enough there with these opportunities against Freddie. But Ballesteros doesn't have a position. So Ian App is not on the injured list. It looked like he was going to be.
He's very much not on the injured list the way he was out there playing today.
But for a little while here at least, Seiya Suzuki's an outfielder. He's an everyday outfielder until Ian can do it. So you got a couple of guys who are just bats. I mean, Justin Turner is not much more than a bat. Ballesteros is just a bat. And Hap is right now. So they got to figure out something on the bottom of that roster. Do you see who's a pure seller now? Who's like totally given up on the year and punted on the year?
Arizona?
San Francisco.
Yeah, that's striking, especially when you got the thing that you wanted. Rafael Devers is out here making plays for you at first base.
Not one team has scored fewer runs since the Rafael Devers trade than the San Francisco Giants. Think about that. They go out, they get Devers, and nobody has scored fewer runs. They traded Tyler Rogers, their excellent setup man. Camilo Doval, who's their sometime closer, is on the block. And that means that one more name is on the block as a possible rental.
Go on.
He's been bad all year, but the last two starts, he's been good. Similar to Alcantara a little bit.
Go on.
Justin Verlander, with 10 innings, one run allowed in his last two starts for the Giants. Do you want a rental of Justin Verlander for cheap or a rental of Merrill Kelly? Merrill Kelly's been really good. But Verlander is Verlander. Do you think he's not Verlander anymore, but do you think he could be Verlander for like a couple of months and a postseason run? And that's got to be so emotionally tempting for Jed, who wanted him in 2018, but it was too late because they had already traded for Quintana when Verlander was suddenly available and he wanted him and they didn't go do it. Now he could do it again.
The way that I see it is, yes, you would like for him to be that guy for you from the moment that you make the trade. it's a weird thing to trade for a guy because of the playoffs. But if you were going to trade for a guy because of the playoffs,
yeah,
he would be that guy.
You know me, man. I want the best opportunity to have a power righty for the top or at least the second spot in the rotation by the time the playoffs come. And I continue to think the best opportunity for that is Sandy Alcantara. But a Justin Verlander lightning in a bottle, opportunity, I must admit, is kind of intriguing. Yesterday, 6 hits, 1 run, 7 Ks. And then his last time out, 5 innings, 1 hit, and 3 Ks. He did walk 5 his second to last time out. But, man, I'm tempted by seeing Verlander. Get him too. It's a rental.
Yes,
it won't cost you much.
That's how I look at it, Spiegs. Like, it's not. It can't be the only move.
No,
but as a move, pretty solid one. Like, if you do that along with getting someone else to pitch for you, now you've got some choices. And you look at the game logs for him. He hasn't really gone deep in a game for a minute.
No,
but playoff baseball is different.
Well, he's not that guy anymore. But how would you feel with him coming out of the pen as a bulk guy in a playoff game or in a game of consequence in September? Here comes Verlander to give you 3 or 4 innings in the middle of a game after you had to pull a starter early, something like that.
In my mind, that's how it would work. Is that's what you're hoping? If you end up getting the Verlander gym, where he goes out there and gives you 6 2/3 and strikes out 10, great. But ideally, it's the start that he had today or yesterday and the start that he had the last time against Atlanta. If he can just 5 innings, and I'll turn it over to the bullpen, with the hope being that the Cubs will have also addressed their issues in the bullpen because they've got some issues. Like, one of those issues reared its ugly head yesterday. Because we spent a lot of time where we were joking about it yesterday. Like, man, we haven't talked about Ryan Pressly in a minute.
Yeah.
And then, ta-da.
Yeah, Pressly has not been good of late. And he's way outside the circle of trust. And then he hung that thing to one of the best hitters in baseball. And you can't do that.
The best player in the game right now, Andrew Vaughn.
Is he the best player in the game by the numbers?
I would be
right now
shocked if he didn't win National League Player of the Week this week.
Coming into today, in 15 games with the Brewers, Andrew Vaughn's hitting .375.
Our game's funny like that, isn't it, guys? Remember, I think one of the last things I said about Andrew Vaughn is like he never went for an extended stretch where he carried the White Sox with his bat. And what's he doing with the Brewers right now? I mean, he's not doing it alone, but like he could.
I mean, yesterday he goes 3 for 4, and that 0 for 1 was a ball that would have been a home run in a lot of other ballparks yesterday. So he is seeing the ball very well, and he's squaring it up in a way that we haven't seen, which is frustrating.
He had a foul ball homer against Shota in the first inning, or maybe it was the second inning today, and then just ripped one down the line in the very first inning against Shota. He is the man is absolutely locked in. Vaughn today, just 1 for 4, that first inning hit. But dig this, man. Optostats ran these numbers, and it's one of these baseball stats with the funky numbers, right? 2 Major League Baseball players ever, over their first 10 games with a team at home, okay? .475 batting average, a slugging percentage over 1.000, and 15 RBIs, okay? In their first 10 games at home with a team. Those two players are Barry Bonds,
David X,
Giants in 1993, and Andrew Vaughn with the Brewers in 2025. Like, he's a freaking hero, man. It's like all the Greg Vaughn stuff is coming out of storage and going to get used for Andrew Vaughn right now.
So wait, Pat Murphy talked about Vaughn-y, is that right?
His swing decisions are great. His swings are great. I mean, kid's been, man, that's a pretty good month. I don't know how many at bats it is, but I bet it's close to 400. I bet it's close to 5 or 6 homers. And he played 20 games, he's got at least 20 RBIs. Probably. Kid's been unbelievable.
He's got more RBIs now than he had in almost 50 games with the White Sox on the year.
Yeah, he's doing very well. I'm happy for him. I really am. I hope that it works out for him, that he gets to show why he was, what, the number three overall pick? Like, yeah. I hope that works out for him.
That's what you got, folks, for all the tanking. You got Andrew Vaughn on the Brewers. worth it.
You got Andrew Vaughn on the Brewers and Luis Robert maybe going somewhere as well. By the way, Adrian Hauser scratched from his start over on the south side. It's been raining. I think they're getting ready to start up about now, but he was scratched from his start. So I would imagine that Chris Getz is probably like, let me make sure that I don't send my guy out there on a wet field when he might be able to get us something back in a trade.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. God, man. It's everywhere. Juwan Duran, did you see the accidental hug watch today in Minnesota? Juwan Duran hugged his teammate after throwing some pitches in the bullpen, and everybody's like, oh boy, there's a hug.
There it is.
And it wasn't.
That's on us for being stupid. It's something that we have noticed a long time ago, and now we use it as a barometer of what's actually happening.
Sometimes people just hug.
People like, you don't know that Adam Amin didn't just show up there and folks just started hugging. You don't know that.
What would happen? Has Adam Amin ever hugged John Vincent?
Yeah, it happened, I think, in the hallway here. I think they were both on one day and they hugged. And
oh, that's amazing.
I'm pretty sure that's how that tsunami happened today.
That's the apotheosis of hugs.
Yeah, like right get those guys together and they're hugging it up.
It's been at least 2 weeks since I dropped an apotheosis. So
it had not been 2 weeks.
And, oh yes,
narrator. Listen.
It had not been 2 weeks.
It'd been about a week.
No, since the Paul McCartney giveaways. That's got to be at least 2 weeks.
Okay,
I'm standing by that. So do you feel good for Andrew Vaughn? Huh? What's happening to me, Lawrence? Like, I don't feel good for Andrew Vaughn. I'm kind of happy that Vidal Brujan got DFA'd. And even though I know that I got to be patient in baseball, like, I got nerves about the Cubs' lack of activity here on the deadline. Is it just all coming to a head with me? Am I aging into dangerous territory? What the hell's happening to me? I need your help.
What's happening to you is what we had talked about kind of at the end of last week or the beginning of last week, where we had the discussion of, man, this Cubs season has felt great. And then you get a tap on your shoulder and you look behind you and it's the Brewers and they're just there. And now they're in front of you. And the whole time that everything looked great, you're like, oh, well, this feels comfortable. This feels right. Look at all these incredible stories on the Cubs. Matthew Boyd is an all-star. Pete Crow Armstrong might be the newest, freshest star in the league. This move that you made for Kyle Tucker seemed to be the right move that you made. You have all of this stuff go on. Your catchers are hitting. You know, Carson Kelly is out there making a push. Like, think about all of the arguments that we made for people to make the All-Star team. Seiya Suzuki was leading the league in RBIs. And it's like, oh, this is great. And then you get the tap on the shoulder and you look and there are the Brewers and they won't go away. So I think that's what, like, you're feeling some of that anxiety of,
I think you're right.
Now you may not have thought it initially because the Brewers had a terrible first month of the season, but now you're in a pennant race and pennant races cause anxiety.
You're right. You're very right. And this is why it has always been true that I'm far too emotional to be a general manager. I'm far too emotional to be a president of baseball operations in a moment like this, because it does start to hit me. You know, it's like the front office version of two-strike anxiety, mm-hmm. which can start to happen to you here. It definitely can get to you as the deadline gets closer. I will say that David Stearns in New York, who is legendarily cautious with prospects, now there with the Mets, gave up an awful lot to get themselves a setup man. And that's been the storyline, has been like, how aggressive is David Stearns going to be? How aggressive is he going to be giving up prospects? Money's one thing, but prospects are another. And he went ahead and did it. So Jed Hoyer is going to have to be more aggressive than he's comfortable with, I do believe, if he's going to get something done. And maybe that's why something has not already been done. Me, I would have given up Owen Casey for Sandy Alcantara already. Sandy Alcantara would have started for the Cubs last night in Milwaukee if it was me as the president of Cubs baseball ops.
Here's the crazy part about this for Jed. If you're Jed, people will never get mad at a decision maker for making an aggressive move, even if you lose. If you lose and you went for it, people can respect that. If you stand pat, when you see some of the flashing warning signs about what your team and your roster might be, and then you lose, that's when people like you have been pointing out, hey, you know, guys, there's some guys out there that could probably help you.
Yeah.
And fans who are like, do something about those dudes from up north, that's when they get to kind of sit in that and be like, hey, you didn't do anything, so I'm not surprised that you lost. So we'll see how all of this stuff plays out. But, yeah, I would understand any Cub fan that's like, what's the meme with the stick? Do something.
Yeah.
I get that, especially after the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. It's having that feeling, that's for sure. We'll get Danny Parkin's thoughts on the Jed extension and the Cubs big picture, and we got to get some Caleb thoughts as well. And tomorrow we're going to start raising money. That man's going to start, what, at 10 a.m. tomorrow with the Radiothon? Let's see what the night before holds for the man, shall we?
Yes, Danny Parkins will join us next in studio on The Score.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Danny Parkins.
Least helpful talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Host on Fox Sports 1.
My friend, and now co-worker and colleague at First Things First, Nick Wright.
Hey, buddy. I really liked your top 10 teams.
Thank you.
And I think it's really cool that you were able to just run back the exact 10 teams you loved last year and just add the Washington to it.
No.
That's all your teams. Yes, every single one. You're doing the same thing everyone's doing.
No.
You know who's going to be good? The teams that I thought were going to be good last year. This is your same list as a year ago. At this time of year, plus Washington, 100%.
He abandoned us.
You're good, buddy. You're you. You're just you.
Yeah,
you're
it's the first time you fell prey to my own Holocaust question. Usually you're just next to me for it. Now you actually got it directed.
I'm good. I'll
love you. Love your show.
Chat. All right. Love you guys too.
Danny Parkins with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Danny Parkins is here. Speegs is not, but he is here on the airwave. So Speegs is doing the show from home today. We got the Peggy Kaczynski treatment with him during the meeting, typing out things. And,
oh, no.
Yeah, it was very loud. It was very, very loud. And he apologized profusely and then ended up hitting one button for forever and messing up the dock. But we love him anyway.
The more things change. What's up, Speaks?
What up, Danny? Yeah, man. You know, I did you hear somebody took my Holocaust question bit yesterday to Sandberg? Did you hear about that?
To Sandberg?
Well, no. Yeah. Well, yes and no. Danny,
what?
You're going to love this.
I know.
You really will.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, there was an incident. Yes. You know how it was. Like, we opened up the phone line so people could talk about their stories with Rhino and whatnot, right?
That's a good thing to do, yeah.
One guy had an awkward interaction.
Rick is in Valpo. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, hey, you guys were saying how Rhino was eloquent. I met him about a week before he went into the Hall of Fame. He was at Harry Carey's. He was eloquent and gracious, and I was nervous as hell. I was the opposite of eloquent. I tried to compliment him. I said, you were my favorite player ever, and your bat was like a lightning, horizontal lightning bolt going through the strike zone. And then I extemporaneously tried to compliment his defense. I said, and you covered more ground than, and I couldn't think of anything, so I said, you covered more ground than Adolf Hitler in the 1940s.
Holy,
and if he would have been mid-sip, he would have spat beer all over, all the way across the room. But
wow, he
realized I was embarrassed, and he couldn't, he let me off the hook. He said, well, I've never quite heard it explained like that, but thank you very much. And
wow.
He was just nice, Rick.
That is unbelievable.
Fascinating memory, Rick. Thanks for sharing that.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
That would leave Rhino speechless.
But it didn't.
It's beautifully put.
That's the point. That's the point, Danny, is that Sandberg was gracious even in that moment. He was remarkably gracious. And Rick and Valpo, with his fumble, stay out of my lane, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, he's coming for your turf, Speaks. Spiegel and Rick hit and run. That is incredible.
You covered more ground than Adolf Hitler in the 1940s.
Imagine like on a day like that, and having that type of embarrassment from your past, and being like, I need to share. that's a pretty amazing amount of hubris, and like, yeah, I'm okay with what I said to Rhino. That is special. Wow.
Good for him.
You guys did great yesterday. You guys did some amazing work. Kostas was great, obviously. Rosner, I thought, was incredible. Everybody should listen to that. I was listening to some of it on the flight in yesterday. So I thought you guys did an amazing job. So hats off to all of you, because I could tell that was a big team effort yesterday. Very good show.
Thank you very much. The Andre Dawson interview was
I didn't hear that one.
It messed us up. Like,
yeah.
we were trying to like contextualize it and figure out like what was the right thing to do, because you don't want dead air in what we do, but clearly, like, he was so emotional that we didn't want to step on his emotions. And
yeah, tough spot.
Yeah, and he was great. And once he kind of like collected his thoughts, it was beautiful the way that he shared. And I saw the Sean Dunstan interview as well.
Yeah, at MLB.
And both of those guys are kind of in similar spots, like the way that they weren't able to express it, and then finding it and sharing it. It was really beautiful moments all the way through.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, with the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon tomorrow, I saw you tweet about it, Lawrence, and you know, it's why we do what we're doing tomorrow, right? It cancer's affected everybody, but I mean, probably the signature moment of, I mean, it's a historic moment in the history of the station. But
yes.
I mean, the signature moment of last year's Radiothon, obviously, was Rhino that morning being cleared and cancer free, and then just months later it coming back, and then you'd heard that it had spread, and then obviously we kind of knew where it was going. But it's just, you know, I was looking at, you know, I watched that clip obviously, and then, you know, the picture that I took with him on the field 24 hours after that announcement, before throwing out the first pitch at the Cubs for a Cure game, and just thinking about the fact that was 11 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just so cruel and so terrible. And so, you know, we are gonna put up a. I just got done with the Cubs on like the final run of show.
Yeah.
Call. I mean, we're gonna put up a big number through the Radiothon this weekend. It's gonna be a big thing.
Oh, I love hearing that. And it was like that. That you're right. Like, we were actually talking about it before the show yesterday, that moment with Rhino is probably up there as far as the history of this radio station with the last Walter Payton show. I think it's up there with that in the way that it connected with people and what people were feeling. Like, we were all in the studio together with them, and it was joyous. Like, it was like, what? Because remember, like, he was kind of fumbling with his phone, and he was like, he wanted to say something.
Well, because it was also minutes into the interview.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, because I obviously didn't know ahead of time, but like, it's also like you're kind of like in a feeling out process, because you don't want to necessarily be like, so how's it going? And then him be like, it's going terribly. But he was giving off a lot of positivity, and he had shown up, and there was some question about that.
The smile was so big that day.
Yeah, exactly. And so felt like you could make, you know, you could ask, and obviously glad we did. And he wanted to share. That was the first thing he said. He was like, I'm glad you asked, right? Because he wanted it out there. Mm-hmm. He was so happy, and it was just, you know, it was unbelievable timing that it had been
that
morning.
It's wonderful that you dedicated, I think, 6 or 7 minutes on the herd filling in for Colin to talk about Rhino and to pay tribute.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, like, you know, how it has hit you because it's a big void for right now. Like, he was a great ambassador. He had really fallen into that role and gotten so comfortable. The next 10, 15, 20 years of his life should have been happiness and being an ambassador for him and for the organization as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, on that point, Rhino loved being a Cub and he loved Cubs fans. Like, so I was in Kansas City, as everyone knows. George Brett is kind of like the Ryan Sandberg of the Royals, right? But George Brett doesn't love being George Brett in Kansas City. Like, he's gruff. Like, there's, for all the interactions and all the stories and 24 hours worth of calls that you guys could have taken about people around town having meetings with Rhino and their personal story with him, it would not go that way in Kansas City. Like George Brett's kind of gruff and doesn't love to be approached. And like, I'm like, dude, why do you live in Kansas City? You're George Brett. Like, go live in Florida and just blend in. Like, so he's not that warm and fuzzy of a guy that Rhino was.
WR2-6. I don't even know what that freaking means.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, listen, I still had to have a great conversations with him, but normally when he's hammered.
Who am I talking to? Who was in Kansas City? Who is this?
George, it's Danny Parkins. Do you remember me?
Oh, yeah, you were in Kansas City. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't a huge fan. But that's not the point. But the point was that, like, not everybody is like that. Not everybody that is the face of an organization and an ambassador, to Speaks' point, embraced it. But Rhino really did, and so that's why everybody had such a personal connection to it and story. And yeah, Speaks, listen, I told the people at the herd that I really wanted to do it, and they were really cool with it. Obviously, I couldn't do 4 hours on it, but doing that on a couple hundred radio stations and national TV, I was honored. And it's super emotional. You asked how it is for me personally. Like, I've poured so much into this radiothon. My wife says that it's like a full-time job for 3 months out of the year. And probably a part-time job for a couple more months. And it's how I honor Brad. But I was going back through text messages with Brad. I just, like, searched Ryan in my phone. Yeah. And there were, like, legitimately 15-plus times that Brad texted me about Ryan, because through just, like, how weirdly connected my life has become to the Cubs, Brad married his wife, Jen, who will be on the radiothon again Friday morning. Jen's father, who is a super Cubs fan, who also recently passed away, was, like, one of Ryan Sandberg's best friends. And so Ryan Sandberg was at Brad's wedding when I was the best man at Brad's wedding when I was 15 years old. So Brad knew Ryan Sandberg for forever and was childhood best friends with Craig Counsell. So in terms of, like, my weird family connection to the Cubs through Brad, so the fact that for months and months I've been planning and orchestrating and booking guests and raising money for this radiothon tomorrow, knowing that Rhino was sick, but doing it in honor of my brother, for him to then pass away right before it, you know, it hit me hard. I was texting with Jen about Rhino. I was, you know, it brought back our memories of being in Vegas, Spiegs, and that conversation we had with him at Harry Carey's when we knew that he was getting a statue, but we didn't know what the statue was going to be. I loved that conversation with him.
Me too.
Like, that was an unbelievable, like, on-air and off-air time that we got to spend with Rhino. That probably totaled, between on-air and off-air, that's probably 30 minutes, right? Like, then the wedding, and I said it on the herd, but for anyone who didn't watch the clip, like, I'm not at all pretending like him and I were best friends. I'd never been to his house or anything, but he knew who I was from that wedding. And so he would always say to me, he'd be like, Margaret loved your toast. Margaret, his wife. And I'd be like, what about you, Rhino? And he'd be like, Margaret loved your toast. And it's just like a little ball busting, right? Just like a little, like, it was like, oh my God, Rhino knows who I am. And he feels good enough to make fun of me or whatever. So yeah, it's hard and it's personal and it brings back Brad stuff and it brings back Brad's wedding stuff and it brings back Brad being healthy. And so, yeah, it's all, cancer sucks, man. Cancer sucks. And it's super emotional, and tomorrow's going to be emotional. And I don't know. But what I'm really, you know, and I'm sorry to hijack this for just a second.
No,
but
go ahead.
I remember, Speaks, you and I meeting over at the bar, right, and talking about the idea for big charity event, right? Before the Spiegel and Parkin show ever started.
Yeah, Miller's Pub. Before our arranged marriage, we went out, and I told you about my big picture improv-esque ethos of what I dreamed talk radio to be, and you told me you wanted to do something to bring the whole station together in support of the city, or you weren't exactly sure, but you had big ideas even then, of course.
Yeah, and so the fact that now Austin Harvest is open on the west side and Cubs for a Cure is now an annual thing, Brad has passed away, Rhino has passed away, but this thing is going to stay. And it's going to keep growing. And I just want to say to the audience right now, like, the number of sponsors is growing. Like, the number of donation incentives is growing. And people kind of have questions about where they should donate their philanthropic abilities to. I biased for sure. But this Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, there is not overhead. You do charity events. You've done them. I've done them. Speaks has done them. You go to a hotel ballroom.
And, at the Drake.
Right? And it's like, okay, it's an amazing event, but it's an open bar and you're eating filet. It's like, okay, well then probably six figures of what you raised that night is not going to the thing, right? So now we've got we can honestly say, because the Cubs employees are Cubs employees who are helping with like the infrastructure. And then our promotions team, who are amazing, they're helping with our level of the infrastructure. And then everything else is just that I kind of donate and book and through Brain Up and calling people and relationships. So just Edrington, Four Corners, FS1, Rush MD Anderson Cancer Center, Loyola Medicine. We have hospitals on board now sponsoring this thing and doing dollar for dollar matches. Charcrust, Jeffrey Lamort Salons, Aetna, Midwest Refrigeration, like Loyola, on and on down the line, Arbor Investments, in addition to, of course, Cubs Charities and individual people like Doug and Stacey Meyer and John Gavin and an anonymous person who, when I tell the story tomorrow on the Radiothon, it will blow people's minds the level of support we're getting. I'm hoping that between now and tomorrow, we can name five more businesses to that list. Like the first Radiothon, Tanny, our favorite line from Hochberg. Do we have
what it? About banks?
Thank you. Yeah. What about banks? Where are the banks stepping up? Like, this is a good cause and it's worthwhile and there's no overhead. And it's just the score heads are going to turn out.
And I want to make sure that, like, look, even though Danny has done a really good job of getting the big money, though, that $5, that $25 that you can, it doubles. Like, so, like, anything that you can give is important to this mission. That it's not just the big donors, it's everyone who's involved in this thing.
Well, that's the beauty of it, right? So, like, in order for those big donors, they've made pledges right now, but we have to do back end accounting for the scoreheads to hit their matches, right?
Correct.
So if Jeffrey Lamort Salons puts up $10,000 for an hour, then the scoreheads come in $5, $10, $250, whatever at a time. But I would also just say real quick, tell the people in your life, especially those that love the Cubs, that maybe have some extra money or some businesses that would maybe want to do, because we have some things that you cannot buy that cost money, that you've got to put up, you know, donations with a comma in. Like, for example, you can get, if you make a $20,000 donation, two tickets to 81 games in the bleachers next year.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And that's the hottest ticket at Wrigley still in terms of, like, what it goes for on the resale market. Like, it's you cannot buy season tickets right, like, tomorrow. You cannot buy season tickets the next year in the bleachers. Not available. You have to have been like an existing season ticket holder on the list, the whole thing. We have 81. You get bleacher tickets to every game for next year. We have meet and greets with the living Cubs Hall of Famers with tickets to a game, on-field experience, the whole thing. Things that are just in the booth with Pat and Ron, The Dormy Network, if you're a golfer, look it up. It's unbelievable. It's $10,000 for a 12-month membership, but that's at a significant discount. It's access. So the point is, if you think you want to make a bigger donation and get a cool thing, tell your people to be listening tomorrow. Hit me up and all that. Because, and then, yes, the $5, the $20, we have so many amazing moments planned for this 24 hours. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be really, really incredible. And this thing is going to just keep growing. It's going to keep growing.
Amazing, amazing. And it starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow. And
the Radiothon.
Yeah, and I feel like you guys kind of kicked it off already with Rhino. You know what I mean? Like with that show yesterday, we're going to be doing a lot more tributes to Rhino too. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, the vibes vibes are in a good spot to do this and to really raise some dollars. What do you do tonight? Is it like the night before a marathon? Do you carbo load? I mean,
yeah,
you
know, I'm gonna. I got a hotel downtown, so I don't have to deal with traffic in the morning. And so yeah, I'm gonna go out to dinner, get some food, talk to FaceTime with the kids, and go to bed, and come in here tomorrow with Layla and Marshall at 10 a.m. and kick it off. And it's trade deadline day.
It is, and it feels like there's going to be stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, they didn't really do any favors so far with the way that they have delayed and not really made any of the big moves. So we'll be able to cover it in context.
We will cover it in context. I don't want people tuning out because they don't think it'll be covered. It will be covered. Jed Hoyer will join us tomorrow after the deadline. Council's going to join us Friday morning. And there is a fundraising component tied to trades. So
wait, what?
Oh yeah, come on! I've thought of everything, Lawrence. should I say it now or should I say it at 10?
Say it now.
All right, I'll say it now.
Say it now.
We have a anonymous benefactor who is a Cubs super fan who just believes in this Radiothon a lot. He heard it last year and he just really got excited about it. Who just believes in the power of Wrigley Field and baseball and bringing people together. He keeps talking to me about unity through baseball, unity through Wrigley Field, who has decided to put up $500 for every trade that happens while the Radiothon is on, or $25,000. So we are going to get when trades happen, $500. When another trade happens, $500. Exactly. Exactly. And Tanny works very hard on that. And he worked very hard on that. And then, so then at the end of hours, we're going to recap trades and then hit that thing. And we're going to, add to our total. It's going to be very exciting.
I'll do respect. I know Tanny's worked his ass off on this and everything else, but it doesn't sound like he worked very hard on that.
Yeah. Listen again, Speaks. You really hear it the second time around. Yeah.
It's so funny.
How many different sound effects did you mix together? I mean, you're a genius. I don't doubt that.
Do you know how long Chris Tannehill probably like labored over that, like to find the right sound?
It's so funny. Maybe 12 seconds. But
I think longer than that.
He's done an insane amount of audio production. Like the Radiothon will sound incredible. He always does amazing work. But it is true that he was like, I want to run this by you. And it was that.
See, it's not much that I'll bother Danny with. But I was like, hey, are we cool with this?
Yeah. It was amazing. There's probably 50 pieces of production plus that he's made for tomorrow and for the next 24 hours.
He said more than that.
More than that?
Double that.
Double that? Okay. Yeah, I don't understand what you do. But I know the sheet is very, very long. But that was the one thing that he really wanted to run by me ahead of time, which is
amazing. One bit of advice. Yeah. Make sure you use that stuff. Use the Tanny stuff.
It's not up to him, Speaks. Thankfully, it's not up to Danny. It's up to the producers here. So I think we're in good shape in that regard.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, I don't know how to do any of that.
Next year, though, Danny will be running the board and hosting
for 24 really hours. Yeah.
Finally.
It's about time. The Score is once again teaming up with the Cubs and Stand Up to Cancer for the 24-hour Cubs for Cure Radiothon. It all starts 10 a.m. tomorrow, right here on 670 The Score. Danny Parkins and the Score team will host the Radiothon, which will feature inspiring stories and mini donation incentives. 100% of the proceeds will benefit Brain Up for cancer research.
That's right. Yeah. And Stand Up to Cancer is an amazing partner. You want to go to Game 4 of the World Series? Tune into the Radiothon. We got tickets for you. You want to fly to New York? Go to Cubs Mets next year? We got tickets. We got a whole prize package of it for a New York trip that we're going to do during the afternoon show, by the way, so we can hopefully get some old Parkinson Spiegel mob members coming out, because I'm going to take them out for pastrami sandwiches.
Oh, nice.
We're going to go to Cubs Mets. They're going to come see First Things First. So yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Outstanding. Hey, by the way, where you have landed as the man in charge helming the third hour of First Things First, Lawrence and I were talking about it. Just a beautiful spot. We're so happy for you, man.
Thank
for anybody
you.
Who doesn't know, you get to do the third hour. It means you get to work with your pal Nick on the flagship show. That is, it's just a great spot. We're thrilled for you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. It's surreal how it all worked out. I'm very, very excited about it. There's no show right now in sports television that has better chemistry. And so the fact that they trust me not to mess up the chemistry by expanding it and putting me on there every day is awesome. I think I have the chemistry because I've got the chemistry with Nick, and so then I get the chemistry with those guys. So yeah, it's an amazing opportunity. And as a kid of the around the horn PTI generation, like 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Chicago, like that hour is just it's very cool. It in some ways doesn't feel
so we're competitors now, huh?
Yeah.
Get him out.
Yeah,
get him out. You can get him out.
Dump
him.
Yeah. Technically we'll be competitors in some way, but you know, I got time.
It's funny, like I Jeff Dickerson would always say that in the end, the idea is to like work with your friends,
right?
Like to get to a point where you can work with your friends.
Yeah.
So you being able to be like, hey, I'm with my guy, like, and we're doing TV. Like that's a pretty special thing.
I mean, obviously, like, yes, it is incredibly special. We can't really believe it. We watch ever since I moved out to New York. we watch NFL Sunday together at his house or my house every Sunday. From kickoff till end of Sunday Night Football. It's totally surreal that us who've been gambling and texting and calling and in each other's weddings and, you know, our families know each other, our kids know each other. Like, it's wild. It's wild. And it's very, very creatively stimulating and exciting. And it's going to be cool. And Nick will be on tomorrow. Colin Cowherd will be on. FS1 is sponsoring an hour. There's some other Fox surprises that are probably going to come in. It's going to be cool, man. It's cool to have
hours.
Them support the whole thing. Yeah,
that's awesome. 16 hours and 33 minutes. Go get some rest, dude.
All right. Yeah. And again, you guys have been killing it. Congrats on the ratings and the success. And I know you're at house, but Speaks, I'll see you tomorrow. Lawrence, thank you for having me in. Speaks, you're coming in tomorrow, right?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that I don't have to talk to a ghost tomorrow.
No, man. I'll be there. It should be a lot of fun.
I've been told my personality can make people uncomfortable, so I have to work to offset that. Humor is my go-to instinct, but every joke is a gamble.
Wow, good voice impression. That didn't sound like you at all right there. But yeah, I'll be in. We'll have some fun.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Danny, thank you very much. Thanks. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., is when things get kicked off. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Bears. By the way, Bears training camp coverage on the Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. How's Caleb growing as a quarterback? You're going to find out next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Yonder crushes this ball. On a line right field. Look out, Goose Island. Yonder maroons one out on the island. And the Sox add on. It's 5-1.
Third home run of the year. He's driven in 9. 4 hits tonight.
Imagine making Yonder Alonso's White Sox portion of his career sound good. That's Jason Benetti and Steve Stone. Yonder Alonso was reunited with Rick Hahn. He was on MLB Network. Rick's doing trade deadline work on MLB Network. It's been pretty good. I sampled some of it today, Speaks. And I think that people will enjoy Rick talking about Luis Robert. And this also tracks with some information the young Alex got from some other people not named Rick Hahn. This is Rick talking about Luis Robert with Yonder Alonso.
Again, he was a 5-win player, looked like future superstar. It hasn't happened, but there's still value. Your thoughts?
Gold glove, silver slugger, 30-30 upside. It all comes down to health. I do think two things are working in his favor when it comes to a change of scenery. One, he has known for the last year plus that he's a short-term guy in Chicago. Yonder can speak to this a little bit better, but when you know you're not really part of the future, it makes it a little harder to come to the park every day and give your best, where he's going to be different in a
Are you motivated, park. Though, too? I mean, no, he got his you signed him to an extension.
Yeah, he's had enough. He's a prideful guy who wants to do well, but the second thing that I think is going to be different once he moves is when a team comes into Chicago for the last year plus, he's the guy they circle in the lineup mm-hmm. and say, this isn't going to be the guy to beat me.
But his numbers just aren't good.
His numbers haven't been good. They've been better as of late. Granted, yeah. Small sample. But if you're telling me I'm making a 2-month bet on a guy's upside, give me someone with that skill set and with that history of excellence, and I'll go to battle.
Would you pick up his $20 million option?
I would have to decide now.
You seem to be more optimistic, and yet I'm thinking, even as low as he is, if you've made, yes, I'd pick that up. And you're thinking maybe
it's
not.
It's funny, because I'm saying, let's take 2 more months, see where we're at, because I am a little concerned.
I would pick that up. Okay.
I also think that it's a lot harder coming to the ballpark. You talk about, you know, having that energy to go out there and perform and do all those things. It is a job. You got to go do your job.
Come on.
But you're losing 120 games every day. You're going to the ballpark every day knowing you're going to get your behind.
When you're on a losing team, you're like, I'm just kind of disappointed.
No, it's just a different. You know, the players around you aren't as good. They're circling him that he can't beat you. Everything is a lot tougher. You're against the grains at all costs. Give me a guy like Roberts.
Man, it's amazing.
Robert.
When you get somebody. You get a hire. Good job by MLB Network that can speak with proximity and connectivity about somebody. The moment in there where Brian Kenny says, would he be motivated though? I mean, you signed him to an extension. That's an incredible moment, because the subtext is that Luis Robert has failed to bloom after Rick Hahn gave him a big pile of money and said, we're gonna do this together. Let's go ahead. And Luis Robert has failed to turn into the player Rick and everybody thought he was going to turn into.
Which is why Yonder should probably simmer down as Rick is telling him, no, I'm going to use the next 2 months if I'm picking up Luis Robert to figure out whether or not I'm picking up that extension.
But, I mean, this is the dream. It's like, on some level, can you imagine if Marquis had hired Joe Maddon to critique David Ross's teams, you know what I mean? Like, if you had somebody who could speak intimately, and there's not that many players that Rick can speak on, but Luis Robert, it is one that he can speak on with complete intimacy. That's some packed stuff right there.
Robert was not scratched from the lineup today. Hauser was, so we'll see if either one or both of them end up getting traded before tomorrow. And trades are going to. Why is Danny still here? I thought we sent him to dinner and then to bed.
He's not leaving.
He's still in the control room. He's ready to go right now. He's like, screw it. Let's just kick this thing off and start raising some money.
Make it 40 hours.
I can respect it.
Why go 24? Let's go ahead and go 40. Yeah, trades are going to happen, and they'll be happening tomorrow. And during the radiothon, you'll hear the Tanny Sounder when they do. I stand by the idea of the Justin Verlander rental as the second of a starting pitcher acquisition. As just like, as seeing if you can find a little bit of magic there. I hope they do something bigger. It's going to cost a lot. I hope they get a reliever, and they need somebody for the bottom of the roster who can play third base and maybe a little outfield, a couple different positions. So they got work to do still, that's for sure.
God bless the Cubs if they don't get Sandy Alcantara, because my partner is going to lose his bleep if they don't. I'm talking about it for 6 weeks, trying to get this guy into a Cubs uniform. Anyway, Alex Tanny, great job as per usual. Speaks, Be better on my part too.
All right, for sure. Yeah,
I'm gonna have a couple days to think about that whole thing. And tomorrow, the radiothon's gonna go on starting at 10 a.m. It's going to be fantastic. So for Alex, for Tanny, who also needs a break, when all of this is done, because he has been spinning a lot of plates. For my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow. The Radiothon tomorrow. Give whatever you can. All right? And we'll talk to you next time here on The Score.
All right. We apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for that presentation.